All right, the book of Colossians chapter 1, let's start with that. Now remember, we began last time to speak about Christ, the final truth. That's the title I was trying to remember, which I didn't remember until, you know. But that's what I called it, Christ, the final truth. All right, what did I call it? Christ, the final truth. And that's what we want to look at again. Remember when I began last time, I said that I went through our catalog of messages, and there were only two series of messages in which I've discussed something like this. And one is titled My Place in Christ, and the other one, The Work of Christ. If you haven't, please try and get those messages. It's a series. There are two series that each one will have between 5 and 8 messages, can't remember for sure. And they're available, of course, on our website, kwm.com.ng, for free download. Now, the emphasis I'm laying here, of course, many things will be said again, and that we have said before. We'll still say them again. But my emphasis here is on the struggles of mankind, all right, to reach God, and the end of that in Christ Jesus. That's my emphasis. My emphasis on the struggles of mankind to reach God, and the end of that in Christ Jesus. That's why I called it Christ, the final truth. And you'll see the reason in a moment. Before we read that Colossians chapter 1, let's read the book of John chapter 14. The book of John chapter 14. What I want is one verse, but I just like to take in context from verse 1. From verse 1, it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Now this is where I want verse 6. And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one," everybody said, "no one." Yeah, that's what I want then. "No one comes to the Father but through me." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me." Now, that's a very bold statement. I need to start with that. It's a very bold statement. It's one of the problems that the world has today with Christianity. I've had this discussion with people from the time I was in secondary school, and they have tried to explain that it is not possible, you understand, that you have, I don't know how many millions of Muslims as an example, all right? Maybe almost 1 billion, if not more. And you are saying that they are wrong. Now, if you want to talk about Buddhists, they are in hundreds of millions, all right? A huge chunk of Chinese people are Buddhists. You are saying they are wrong. Now, that is a challenge. You know, it's as if, no, there must be something out of, you know, there's something out of order. You can't be that only one. Are you getting my point? How can you be the only one? Arguments come up. What about those who never heard the gospel? What about the Africans before the missionaries came? What about this? What about that? What about this? And these questions keep on coming. And then you read this kind of statement. Let me say something about the words of Jesus Christ. It's either they are true or they are not. Let's start with that. When he says no one, let me not even go through the discussion of whether they are true or not. I believe we are here because we believe his words are true. Amen? Amen. So when he says no one, he means what? No one. No one. Including David, Moses, Abraham. That's very interesting. All right? Very interesting. Now, let me say this quickly, okay? I've said it before that there are two seasons. There have been two epochs in the existence of mankind. And it's reflected in the dates that we used. There's what the Bible calls the former times and then the latter day. That is the latter days and the book of Hebrews. It will tell you that God spoke in former times to the fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken in his son. And that, I said before, when we touched on that, that was referring specifically, of course, to the Jewish nation, all right, the fathers that he was talking about. But that same thing applies to the whole world. Everybody comes, all civilizations come to a head at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Jesus came, God also spoke to the Africans through their own prophets. He spoke to the Asians through their own prophets. He spoke to the Europeans through their own prophets. Now, it's important to understand this. God is not stupid. I don't know why I said that. But you know, sometimes people will talk about him as if he doesn't know what he's doing. All right? That you say, what about those who were in Africa those days? As if God did not know they were there. He knew. All right? The only thing is that the records of their own things, you and I don't have it. Because the way God spoke to them is not relevant to you today. So God didn't bother to keep a good record for you to be learning from later on. No, he didn't bother. The only one that he kept an accurate record of was because Paul said it like this. He said, to them were given to keep custody of the oracles of God. Of all the peoples that were on the earth, God chose a particular nation. You must understand the principle. Every time, even when he was dealing with the nation of Israel, he chose a particular tribe, all right? The tribe of Levi. And he said that the Levites, this will be their duties. They will offer sacrifices on behalf of their brethren, and they will teach the law. That's what he chose them for that. So he said the mouth of a priest is supposed to produce knowledge. It's supposed to impact the knowledge of the law of God. In the same, now, they were 12 tribes, but they chose a particular tribe. I said, this is your duty. In the same manner, he looked at the whole of the races of mankind and chose one particular race and said, the plan I have for mankind, I will give it to you guys to hold for me until the time comes when everybody should read those plans and decode them. Even the angels did not understand the plan. Are you getting my point? That is, the Bible says these are things that angels wanted to look into. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? The people who prophesied those days did not understand. It was clear, the Bible made it clear to us, that Isaiah will be prophesying. He will talk and talk and talk and talk. After a while, he will say, what am I saying? What is this thing I'm saying? I'm saying things that are impossible. I'm saying things that don't even tie to what is going on here. I start saying things like, my strength for nothing, and you know, my judgment is my God, and God starts telling me things like, don't worry, I will yet make you a light to many nations. I'm not planning to preach to many nations. I like my nation Israel. Isaiah had no understanding. That is, with all the prophecies that Jeremiah prophesied, most of the things he was saying, he didn't have an idea of what they meant. But God said simply, just say those things, keep them for me. When the time comes, I will help people. I will give the understanding to people. And for your information, that was one major thing. In fact, the man that was pivotal in that, his name was Paul. Paul was the most important person. Most of the things that God wrote in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Peter had no idea whatsoever until Paul came on the scene and began to say, bro, Peter, see this scripture you are quoting? You don't know the meaning, no? You think it refers to the Jews? Let me tell you something. It is the same thing. It applies both to Jews and Gentiles equally. That was one thing that Peter didn't understand until Paul came on the scene. Please, let me try and we'll read this in a moment, but I'm going to make an issue here. So people ask all those questions. Let me get back there. So in the former times, I was trying to explain, God spoke in different ways to different people. So the Jews, he spoke through their prophets. I've told you the story again and again, at least. I learned this a bit of the Nigerian story. I heard a bit of the one from Western Nigeria and the one that was told by Ishaya Udu. I watched him on TV, all right? And it was telling the story of how come Southern Kaduna, Southern, you know, Zaria, is Christian, and his grandfather was an Islamic cleric. For those who haven't heard the story before, let me quickly tell it in about a minute. He said that the man was seeking after truth. Because of his search for truth, he had his, not like you have Islamic schools till today. You have the young boys learning from, it's not new here. It's been like, even those days, they used to have school of the prophets. You hear that, is Saul also amongst the prophets? There was a school of prophets. So people like that always existed. So this man also had his own. And because he was really seeking for truth, one day an angel appeared to him and told him, take 2 days journey down towards the south. You meet messengers of God, they will tell you the truth. And he began to walk down, and he met missionaries going up towards the north. And he met them, greeted them that an angel appeared to me and said that you guys have a message for me. They sat down, taught him the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went back home, taught it to his followers, and the whole community became Christians. That's why till today, you find that Southern Kaduna is Christian. It was that man's influence. Years later, his grandson became a pediatrician and vice-chancellor of ABU at the time, and he was the one that told this story. God was speaking to people. That's what I'm going to explain. Because if you look at this, because the way it is that it didn't stop 2,000 years ago. He didn't say, okay, this is the last time. I don't know what I get my point. This is not the latter days. The latter days begin in each area when the light of Jesus comes into that place. Until then, he speaks to them different ways. I've told the story before of when missionaries were coming to Ijebuland. Is it Ijeshaland or Egbaland? Yes. And the Ifa priests, one day they were doing their divinations and their incantations and their recitations. And then the revelation came that the gods, all right, have sent them messengers. And they should go and listen to those messengers. And that was how come when the missionaries arrived, to their surprise, there was no fight. Are you getting the point? There was no fight like, what are you saying? People say, okay, are you the ones that are supposed to tell us? Okay, gather the whole, they are told their Oba that the gods are sending messengers. We are supposed to receive them. So when the missionaries arrived, they met a very willing people. There's a book I have in my house, Spirits of Mindoro, somewhere around that China area. Spirits of Mindoro. Those people had writings, hundreds of years old, describing when a time will come that the light will come to liberate them from the bondage they were in. That thing was written at least 300 years before missionaries arrived. God is not stupid. Don't come and start saying, how can you tell me that nobody can come? What about the Africans before that time? When were you born? God has been watching over the Africans before that time. And anybody who loved truth and wanted righteousness, God knew how to take care of him. I've explained to you before. I know a bit of course, Yoruba culture. The Ifa priest, when you hear of Ifa priest, Ifa. His job was to divine. He was a diviner. You've heard of Balaam in the Bible. Don't be confused. Balaam was not your type of prophet. You find it Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation is not somebody's name. Lamentation, Jeremiah. You know, Isaiah, you know, Micah, Nahum, you know, Habakkuk, Daniel and co. No, Balaam was not like that. Balaam is what you and I would have called a diviner. He was not one of the Israelites. He didn't understand the prophets the way you and I read the account amongst the Jews. He was just a diviner. And he understood the ways of God. And he was so good with it. Everybody knew that if the man placed a curse on you, you were cursed. And it's not new. You come down to Africa. Look, what you and I call juju men, all right? If our priests, they could place curses on people. They understood how to do it. They knew how to go before the presence of the judge of the heavens and bring forth their petitions and draw forth judgment against people. They knew how to do it. Many of them spoke for God. Many of them. The knowledge of right and wrong, people had it. They had it. They had it. They had it. There is no culture in the world where they did not know that to take another man's wife was evil. There was none. There was none. All of them knew. Some of them may have done it, but they all knew it was bad. And everywhere they knew if you catch him, behead him, everybody will support you. Let's get that very clear. So let nobody come and confuse and say, hey, what about the African? God knew what he was doing. But let me sit on my main message, I beg. I want to talk about Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, let's continue teaching. Now, so that statement, let's get back to it. Many people were seeking after God. We need to say this again and again. When Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but through me. What that tells you, anyway, I'll tell you what that tells you in a moment. Let me continue what I'm going to explain. Many people were seeking after God. Last time, as I was finishing the message last time, I talked about the quest of mankind. I'm going to continue from that point. And I told stories about how the Hindus went about it. And it wasn't only them. I said something last time that truth The problem with truth, when it becomes error a lot of times, is not because if you want to examine what we and I will call facts, you think it's totally wrong. It is a lot of times the time frame, the spiritual geographical location. Now, that statement is very correct, too. I knew what I was saying. When I say spiritual geographical location, there is a kingdom of darkness. There is a kingdom of Christ. That's the kingdom of his dear son. There are things that are factual. You know, when you're talking about spiritual laws, the moment they enter into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, they don't make sense anymore. They don't work anymore. But if you were to take them out and look at them on their own merit, those laws are true. And one of the things I'm going to explain again in this series is to help Christians, preachers, to understand how that we must be careful not to confuse common spiritual laws with laws of Christ. Let me give a very, very, you know, one that's very easy to relate with. For example, the one we say a lot in Christianity, which is very, you know, is really, really true in itself. For application in Christianity, you have to be very careful. For example, they will tell you that if you want, you give, right? In Christianity, it doesn't work like that. It's a sound spiritual principle. In Christ Jesus, Jesus told us something. That law is good, it's okay. But you guys, if you believe in me, you receive only on one premise. You ask in my name. No other premise. Don't quote anything else. Don't try anything else. Any other thing you do, just do them because they are good for doing. When you want to ask, when you want to expect, make sure your expectation is based upon the credit in your account because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Don't add anything to it. That's where the confusion often is. People don't understand that some of these laws, they are real, they are true, they are okay spiritual laws, but Jesus confounded them by his sacrifice. Therefore, a man sows, so what a man sows, he shall also reap. So he's a murderer. So problem will come upon him. And yes, you get down before the throne. You want to plead against him because of his works. As soon as you mention his name, and his name is called in judgment in God's presence, suddenly a voice speaks up that he has believed though. So what he sowed, he can't reap it now. What is he going to reap? He's going to reap the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Why? Because he believed. So the law of karma, the law of retribution, all those laws, very good and sound and perfect laws, once the thing enters into the realm of Christ, they fail. That's what I said before. You did good, it also fails. The law that if you did good, you will get good back also fails. You did bad, it also fails. Why? Once they pass through the purifying zone of the blood of Jesus, they don't make sense anymore. They don't make sense anymore. That's what I mean by laws. You know, when you talk about spiritual geography, you have to be careful how you apply them. That's why I tell Christians all the time, when you want to pray, please don't insult anybody. But say, God, see what I have done. God, say, you haven't done anything, no. That's what I mean when I'm talking about the fact that you have to be, that what may appear true, all right, becomes a lie, becomes false when you cross certain boundaries. Time is also a boundary. We're talking about spiritual geography. Time is also a boundary. There are things that were true before. You cross a particular time, you know, boundary, a time limit, suddenly they are false. And the most important time limit is that sacrifice of Jesus Christ again. The example I gave last time to prove it is that you can have a right-handed car and drive it without problems in United Kingdom. You take the same car, it's a very beautiful 2013 model Jaguar, very beautiful car. You put it on a Nigerian road, even with potholes, they will still arrest you. They won't tell you that your car is very fine, no, let's leave it. Once you bring the car onto a Nigerian road, it's error. Why? Because the law in Nigeria doesn't allow that kind of car. Your steering in Nigeria must be on the left side of your dashboard. So you see, this is very, very important. Sometimes people tell you that this thing was done before the law. You understand my point? I'll say, whether it's before the law or not, it's irrelevant. The point is that it's before Christ. Because many things done before the law. Animal sacrifices started in the Garden of Eden. As soon as they came out of the Garden of Eden, the men began it. The information I have is that God did the first one in the Garden of Eden. Because the men sinned, and when they had to leave, all right, that's why, where did God get the skin he covered them with from? He had to kill an animal. You're getting the principle. Noah continued it. You know, as soon as he came out of the ark, he brought out the animals and made a sacrifice. But as soon as Jesus died, that became the end. Anybody brings a cock or a goat for the blood value right now is walking in iniquity. Can you see the point? If you bring a goat or a cock for the meat value, the Lord is with you. You know what I'm saying? You want to eat meat, it's okay. But for the blood value, suddenly, you are beginning to insult the blood of Jesus. So anyone who's getting involved in those sacrifices today, having heard the gospel of God, is a sinner. If it's in a place where the gospel has never reached, you'll be amazed that it still has some effect. But once the gospel reaches there, the fellow automatically becomes a sinner. A time boundary has been drawn. Now, it is not only with blood sacrifices. There are many things that end was Christ. I don't want to begin to mention it, so as not to raise too many questions in your mind. Anyway, let me just drop one. I was reading Paul, the book of Colossians. And Paul said, if they harass you about Sabbath, they tell them to get away. Yeah, Paul said that. You know, that's why you go to the New Testament, you don't find the apostles sitting down on such matters. They left those things alone. And we have to be careful when we go back into the old covenant to start digging out strange principles. Like I always say, be careful. If Peter did not say something was important, Paul didn't say it was important. John wrote, with all the writing that John wrote, 3 different letters. Peter wrote 2 good letters. Let's not talk about Paul. He was always writing. You put him in prison, he writes. He can't travel, he writes. Somebody's going ahead of him, he writes. If he's happy, he writes. He has bad news about you, he writes. Good news about you, he writes. With all of that, if he left some things alone, be careful. Before you make laws out of them, be very careful. Why? Because they deliberately left some things out. Why? They say, wait, we met the real thing. I don't know what I get my point. We met him. We met him. Having known him, I don't want his description of him. I know him. You cannot still be using types to indicate Christ for somebody who is in him. That's what I'm trying to explain. That's what I'm trying to explain. I've not forgotten the thing I say, no. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me say this, all right? That's where I ended last time. The fact that men struggled, they labored in those times. We saw the story of the Hindus, how they went after holiness. Men will walk naked. Those are the sadhus. Those are the men, not the commoners. The people who are going after true holiness in their own way. They will go naked. Not at ground level. They move up to the mountains where things were cold. They endured the cold. They live in the caves. Why? They are trying to attain holiness. Don't forget the few examples I gave you. Look. The nakedness is a problem. But despite being naked, some men still go beyond that and start inflicting themselves with all kinds of pain. The one I described hadn't sat down in 10 years. He had to remain standing for 12 years. When he first started, his feet were so swollen. Of course, the blisters ruptured and became festering sores that never really totally healed. By the time my wife and I were watching him on Discovery Channel, on National Geographic. He had been doing that for 10 good years. Was trying to attain a particular level of holiness. He wanted to escape the corruption that is in the world That's what they were going for. I mentioned another one that kept his hands raised up like this. Also for about 10 years. He had to do it for 12. By the time I saw him, that is, we're watching him on TV, the hand was withered and it was straight. The kind of person that Jesus would have loved to heal. This one was well, he afflicted himself. Why? They wanted to attain a particular connection with God. Men have used all kinds of works. You're not a Hindu. You're not a Buddhist. You're not into those realms. You're a Christian, and I want to talk to Christians. Christians still do that. What do Christians use? There's plenty of very, very nice and good things. They use prayer. They use fasting. They use giving. They use their tithes. They use church attendance. Please follow me. This is the funny part. They even use departing away from what they consider sin. I had to qualify it what they consider sin. Because in doing it, a lot of times they are still walking in sin. People have stripped themselves. When we're young, the law against wearing jewelry was because people made idols of their gold. They gave to Aaron. Aaron cast them into the, you know, that Aaron's account is always making me laugh anytime I get there. Moses said, Aaron, what did you do? He said, they gave me gold. I threw it into the fire. Then the calf, I can't come out by itself. I mean, go and read it. That's how he said it. He said, and out came this calf. I've always been wondering, oh, bro, Aaron, this is your own spirituality is funny. How did you throw gold into fire? Then the calf just come out. Now, what am I saying? So men said, we don't want to become idol worshippers. So they strip themselves of their jewelry. That's another method they try to use. Denominations have been built upon obedience to the laws of Moses. I had a friend in university. Down to fish, he used to, all of us would go to a particular set of bucaterias, all right, to go and eat. Then he would leave us and go to another one. Why? I found out later. I think those ones used to use a particular kind of fish. So we did not know now. You chop any fish. You know, you eat any student. Anything you give a student is good. Students enter somewhere to go and eat. My friend said, no, he has to go somewhere else because of the kind of meat. Later I found out, he didn't tell me, it was somebody that said, don't mind him, that it is church matter. That those people cook the only kind of fish he agrees to eat. And his reason was biblical. He starts quoting for you what Moses said was good fish and fish that was not good. All of this, what is their aim? To attain righteousness, to please God, to be close to God, to get to know Him. That's it. Those are the attempts. My message is simple. All of them are a waste of time. You must understand motive counts with God. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, motive is very important. Two people can do the same thing. Two people are praying. That is, both of them are spending hours in prayer. The prayer of one is not heard at all. In fact, not like God is angry. Not like God is angry. It's more of God says this fellow is wasting time. Why? What is the object of his prayer? Why should they pray? The more I pray, the more I'll be pleasing to God. The more my sins will be forgiven. The more God will love me. The more I attain to spirituality. Unfortunately, all those things don't work. So the fellow will be praying morning, afternoon, and night. Let me say something to you. Please, I hope I don't sound critical. But you know, we have to tell the truth. And the truth will always slap some people in the face, all right? If you see anybody that's still going through all those motions, praying certain hours of day, number of hours in a day, you know, chanting, and they say it's a form of spirituality, it's a waste of time. And a lot of our denominations will do it here today. It's a waste of time. If you cannot point to why you are like, I want to ask God for this, I want to give God thanks simply for this, I want to change the situation in a particular area. If you cannot point to those three things, you are praying for something, maybe for somebody or for yourself, or you are just come to out of the fullness of the gratitude in your heart to express it to God. Do you get my point? Or you want to change something around. If it is just a matter of a form of worship, then you are walking in iniquity. Flat. Listen. What Jesus came to do was to make spirituality a normal part of your life. You know why men were trying to attain to godliness, to righteousness, to acceptance with God? Because as a matter of fact, they were far from Him. And being far from God is something everybody knows. Once you grow up, you will know you are far from Him. I thought a series is Life According to Divine Purpose. I think that's what I called it, yes. I started with Key to Eternal Life. I have known a principle. Now listen, if you have not drank water, you know you are thirsty. You know that? You don't have to believe in water, you will be thirsty. It is not a matter of, I just believe, they taught us in church that you have to drink. Just don't drink, you will become thirsty. In the same manner, you say, I don't believe in vitamins. So I don't believe in vitamins. So somebody extracts all the vitamins from your food. You will become anemic. You will become weak. Your heart may even fail. Your skin will change. Many of the skin problems people have is vitamin that's not complete. I'm looking at something. In the same manner, you did not even know about the vitamin B. You were just eating rice. You get my point, like Koreans. Rich people in Korea eat a lot of rice. Poor people will add beans to it. They found out that a certain kind of disease was found amongst the rich, the poor did not have. Simply because of the kind of vitamin B that was inside the beans that the rice did not have. Now, what I'm trying to say, the rich did not have to believe in the vitamin B. They just eating rice. But they fell sick. Their children were ill. They had to go to the hospital. Until somebody identified what the problem was. In the same manner, you may not call it God. You may not call the thing that you are looking for the Spirit of God. If you are lacking in it, you will be sick all the time. I don't know whether you are getting my point. You will know something is missing in your life. I bought a book by Ravi Zacharias. I'm reading it. Now, I listened to him quite a bit. And one of the things he tries to address is this new age thing when you get to a place like the U.S. And it's a sign of emptiness. It's pure emptiness. You find that a big movie star has gone to start learning yoga. They go into meditations and all those kind of... It's all emptiness. That is, something is calling. Do you understand? There's a part of the soul, or what the Bible calls the spirit, actually, that's reaching out for its own nutrient. You don't give the child protein, he gets kwashoko. You don't give the spirit the food that it needs, he also gets spiritual kwashoko. So the fellow will have all the money in the world, but he has all the emptiness that goes with it. And that book that Yinka gave me at that time, the book that changed your world, is that the title of the book? Yeah, at the beginning, the man described one rock star, plenty of money. How the man was so frustrated, he's on drugs, and finally one day he committed suicide. And over the next few days, scores of people, young boys, also followed him and committed suicide because they had been listening to his music. And listen to the lyrics of the music, it's all emptiness, life is empty, meaningless, death is coming, all those kind of things. These are spiritual diseases. You think the guy they crazy. Nobody say they crazy, they sick. I don't know what I get my point. It's nutritional deficiency. It's not vitamin D, it's not vitamin B, it's not vitamin C. It is vitamin S, vitamin spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So for that reason, that's what I'm trying to bring out. So for the long time, people wanted to know God. A friend of mine told me about one celebrated atheist. And one day he was interviewed in a radio station. Of course, he was there raving against God. There is no God. There is no God. God is dead. This is them. Finally, somebody said, okay, If what you are saying is true, then what's the purpose of everything? Before he could think about it, he had broken down in tears. That is, before he could catch himself, he had started crying. Of course, after a while, the spirit pushing him would say, no, 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 come, don't cry, you're a man. Okay, I'm a man. Things don't have to have meaning. Before then, he had shed the tears. Why? Because the spirit is crying for it. Now, for that reason, men went different ways. You look back those days, some would do human sacrifices. And you feel like they were wicked. Let me tell you, they were not wicked. They were just ignorant. Do you know people submitted themselves to those sacrifices? You think it's every time they had to catch somebody who's unwilling? I mean, look at people who are blowing themselves up today. Is that not human sacrifice? Did they force them? They left them alone to go and do it. Men are reaching for something. Let me tell you something about Christianity. If you know the power of what you have, you'll be preaching all the time. If you know literally, if a Boko Haram boy sees you and he gives you 5 minutes, he will remove the belt of bomb, you know, the suicide belt, and throw it away. Because he didn't strap that belt on because he's happy. He strapped that belt on because it's empty. If he had something else to fill his heart, that wouldn't require him tearing himself to pieces and innocent people around him, he would take it. Listen, do you know why they are imams? All right? Do you know why they can pump their hearts full of venom and the murderous spirit? Because there is nothing inside it. Let the same imam put me there, sit him down. Now he go convert, you know that. Start preaching to me. I don't want to say anything. The kind of eye I'll give you after 10 minutes, you will say, oh boy, what is it that is inside you that I don't have? And Ravi Zacharias will give you testimonies of when he had spoken. So one day he finished preaching. He was in a place where things were rough, you know, religious tension. And he speaks to enlightened people and all that. In the crowd was a militant, you know, a real militant, Islamic militant with his men. At the end of his speaking, he was seen that the children, somebody wanted to see him, that guy wanted to see him. For a while, he panicked. He said, okay, they have come. The guy came in. He was armed. Looked at him, removed his arms, put them down, and prostrated that the man should pray for him. Because he had something he did not have. Listen, men strive. That's why I gave you the list of how Christians also strive. And why do they strive like that? Which is why we are doing these teachings, because they don't understand that they don't have to. All the striving of mankind is their own labors. And what God said, this is his own law, his eternal law. The just shall live by faith. No matter how much you try, it can never work. The just shall live by faith. It has never worked with God ever that you attain anything with him and it was not by faith. Why is it like that? I don't know. I met it like that. From the early days, you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It was describing what happened. And Enoch walked with God until he was no more because God took him. And he says that it had to have been by faith, because without faith, it is impossible. Now, you must understand words. It is not good. It's not, that kind of thing is not nice. Don't waste time like this. That's a long route. There's a shorter route. I said the story of Paul Ginodo. You know why he gave his life to Christ? He found that the gospel of Jesus was true when he saw a miracle before his eyes at the crusade as a student in London. And the Islamic thing had taught him that all the years he missed praying, he had to make up for it. He was supposed to pray 5 times a day and he had not prayed for 5 years at all. The following 5 years, he had to pray 10 times a day to make up for it. That was the school of Islam he understood. So when he found out that Jesus was real, and the preacher said, Jesus will forgive you of your sins. So he saw it was simple mathematics. If I follow this Jesus, I don't have to do anything else. If I go the other way, I'm owing 5 years of prayer. 5 times 5 times 365. Oh boy, the guy calculated and said, Jesus, you will save me a lot of trouble. I'm happy he made that decision, because what he didn't realize was that even if he said he had the strength to pay back, the fact still remains that without faith, it is impossible. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It's not that if it's not good or it will take you longer. It's that no matter how long, no matter how much effort you put into it, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. That has always been God's method. The animal sacrifices he gave, at least the Jews were aware of. Don't know much about the other people. It was a sign of faith. That's what it was. Anyone who offered the sacrifice and did not do it by faith got nothing. That's why you find out that Abraham, let's start from Noah, people like Noah and co, you will see something always kindled their offering sacrifices. They didn't just offer sacrifice and say, God, where are you? We will find you today. We will find you today. When Elijah brought out a sacrifice, it was because he was sure God was there. He wanted to prove something to people. Are you getting my point? It wasn't like, let's look for God. Bring out a sacrifice. We'll do something today and provoke him to show. No, no. What happened simply was that it was a manifestation. Look at Noah. Where did Noah get the animals from that he used for sacrifice? The clean ones, he took 7. The unclean ones, he took just a pair. Can you remember that? What does that tell you? God has prepared him to make sacrifices. He sacrificed in obedience to the word of God. The just shall live by faith. David didn't offer sacrifices because he wanted to offer. They all offer sacrifices that were commanded. Why? Because it has always been the order of God. The just shall live by faith. It has always been like that. It has always been like that. It has always been like that. Now, the ultimate sacrifice, of which every other sacrifice was a type, was a foreshadow, was like somebody said, it was a promissory note. It's like saying that, okay, I've been working, I'm going to get paid at the end of the year. So you give your landlord a post-dated check. You get what I'm saying? That's what it was. All right, please, don't worry, we'll pay you. The money's coming at the end of the year. You give them a post-dated check. So don't worry, by 26th of December, they will have paid. So I'll give you a check for 31st. The fact that you know that the payment is coming, that's what the faith is. The animal sacrifices were just the checks that were written down. When Jesus came, listen, the Bible says clearly, the blood of bulls and goats, they could not take away sin. So why did God order them to be offered? Simple. It was a sign of the faith in those who offered them. So that when Jesus came and then died, that was the real sacrifice that everybody was looking forward to. After that, nobody is allowed to shed the blood of any other animal. Why? Because the real sacrifice has been offered. Please, I hope you're following my point. What am I explaining? So men struggled. But the truth is that none of them, not one was able to approach God that closely as to call him Father. That's why he used the word, no one can come to whom? He didn't say to God. God, Jesus knew how to choose his words. No one can come to who? The Father. Because God has many faces. They could all come to the judge. they could come. You can't come. You have words to speak. Speak. They could even come to the deliverer. They could even come to El Shaddai. And many people came to him. The widow of Zarephath was one of them. He didn't live near the Jews. She was far away in Sidon. She had problems. She cried to God. And God said, I will send you somebody to go and preserve your life. So he sent Elijah. She was able to contact God, the deliverer. Many people contacted different aspects of God. Joshua was walking one day and he saw him. He sent an angel, go and help Joshua fight. Moses could even find God different. But no one, not one, not Moses, could come to the Father. Not Moses. So let me answer that question for you. When they said that, what about many other people in the world? Let me look, that one is straight. Truth is truth. It doesn't have to feel good to our bodies. This is the truth. Before Jesus, before the light of the gospel went to certain areas, you know, because for them, Jesus hadn't come as far as nobody has come to tell them about it. Are you getting my point? Before that, men sought God and many found him in different ways. Many approached close, but to a different part of God. And God was kind. You must understand, God never leaves himself without a witness. Everywhere where he doesn't have the witness, he will soon wipe the people out. Listen, go and read the story in the scriptures. When God will say, when you get there, don't leave anybody standing. You know, some of those things, when people read it today, say God was wicked. God wasn't wicked. Those are people that were totally corrupted and there was nothing good that was remaining. And there was not even any witness inside there. So there was no hope. So God said, look, kill everything, everybody you find. Wipe them out entirely. Entirely. Otherwise, God always left himself a witness. Always did. Always did. He always did. He always did. There were always standards of right and wrong. And he rewarded people. Now, look, what am I even talking about? Remember Abraham. Abraham went one day. Oh, so many things to say. The Bible said that there was time God winked over something. There was a man called Abimelech. He had many wives. Plenty. And he saw Abraham's wife. And he wanted her too. And so Abraham said, this is my sister. And do you know the interesting part? Do you know God? Not the devil. Who? God came to Abimelech at night. And said, you're a dead man. I'm going somewhere. He said to Abimelech, you're a dead man. And Abimelech said, what have I done deserving of death? And he knew it was God. So he took another man's wife. And he said, now listen to this. So this is a man that had many wives. And he said, you know it's in the integrity of my heart. You know, if I tell you that I had it with the integrity of my heart, I married three wives. You will wonder whether I'm okay. Are you getting my point? This man had not, we don't know how many he had. Yet he said to God, it's in the integrity of my heart I took that woman. After all, he said, it's my sister. He said, okay, go and restore her back, and then he will pray for you because he's a prophet. Now, what I'm telling the story is that, you know, Abimelech knew God. But what did he know about God? The God that allows him to marry as many wives as long as it's not somebody else's wife. You and I know that is not the same God that you and I know today. Is in personality the same person. It's the same individual. There is but one God. Are you getting my point? But that was the extent to which he revealed himself to those people. So David saw nothing with picking one wife after the other as long as it's not anybody else's wife yet. Now, you are getting what I'm going to explain? So men sought God. And they knew a bit of him. That's what I'm going to emphasize, you know. And they try to emphasize that, look, that people, you know, so that's what causes the confusion. They will not say that, hey, I used to know other people too. They didn't know God. Listen to me. God says, listen, I have revealed myself bit by bit to people. You hear words like, by this name I revealed myself to the fathers. By my name, Jehovah, I never revealed myself to any one of them. Are you getting my point? But what happened in Christ Jesus, he said, it pleased God that the fullness Not small, small. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Not bit by bit. But that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him. Everything. There is no part of God that's not revealed in Jesus Christ. And the most crucial part of God, the Father part of God, nobody even knew it existed until Jesus came and revealed him. That's why till today, the Muslims will fight. That they say God has a son. They call God Father. You know it's war. It didn't start with them. With the Jews, it was the same thing. The thing Jesus did, that they said, we'll kill you today. This one we know you are beside yourself, was when he said, I am my Father. I won. Give me a stone, give me a stone. Let's kill somebody. Let's kill somebody. This guy, we know you did miracles, but this is blasphemy. Why? It was strange revelation to them. They had never heard it before. So you see, it's not a lie. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It was not a lie. Even those who tried to approach God, they knew it. They knew there was a part of God they could not see. Moses, with all his friendliness, maintained a respectable distance every time he and God had to talk. Are you getting my point? And this is the interesting part. All these men I've talked about, especially outside the Jewish nation, all of them struggled for the little they got to. The Balaam we are talking about in the Bible, you know how many sacrifices he used to slaughter to get a glimpse? Come to this corner, maybe peradventure I will see something from this corner. Slaughter me 7 bulls and 7 rams. Those people were putting in a lot of effort. Do you understand my point? Those were the struggles of mankind. They were putting in all kinds of effort to reach God. And most never did. The story I told you about the Hindus, about the sadhus, after 12 years of standing straight, you know what happened at the end of 12 years? He will finally sit down. He will have found out that it was a waste of time. And you know his foolishness. You know why I say it's foolishness? Because if the Hindus before him, if he bothered to listen, they would have told him it's a waste of time. The most prominent of them all before him was Buddha. What we call Buddha now. I've forgotten his full name. He's the most, at least outside their world, I don't know much about their religion, but outside, he's the most famous Hindu that we know. He tried all of those things. He did things like that. After many years, he found out, no, it doesn't work. He found out it didn't work. Many people went that way. They found out that it didn't work. I wish, just that people don't like to learn. Otherwise, the man would have known that this does not work. What works? Let's read it. Colossians chapter 1. This is the end of all struggles. That's what I'm talking about. It said, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, let me say something about Jesus Christ before we read that. Let me tell you what Jesus is, what he represents. We said that people were reaching out to God. Are you getting my point? In summary, Jesus is God reaching out to men. You hear what I said? That is, he said, his name shall be called Emmanuel. Which means what? God with us. Not a God that is far away that we are trying to reach. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is God coming down to us. That he says, stop trying to reach out. Reach up or reach down or reach far. Say, no, God will now come down to you. That's what Jesus is. That's what he is. We are no longer trying. You must understand this. We are not trying to seek his face. His face, you must understand, is not hidden from the believer. You seek that which is what? Lost. That which you can't find. When people have been alienated from God, there are things they do. You know, like tell you Christians, you have to be careful. You don't copy people who are walking under a curse. You must understand. He said something. Paul was speaking in that Romans chapter 10. That don't say in your heart, who will go up to heavens to go and bring him down? Or who will go? They said the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which you preach. That is, all that is remaining is believe with your heart. You don't look for anything. It's for you to receive that which he has given. That's one thing about Jesus people must understand. God is not taking from you, he's giving to you. Amen. He came unto his own, and his own did what? They did not what?
Receive.
They did not what?
Receive.
That is, God was giving them something. And the quarrel God has with you and me today is that I gave you something, you didn't take it. That's all. I gave it to you, you did not collect it. That's the only quarrel he has. He said, but as many as did what?
Received
him. To them he gave the power to become what people were, they did not even know it existed. People will fast for 12 months because they want God to show them mercy. People will say, we need to understand the realm of the spirit. So they go naked for 12 years, like I was telling you earlier. Yet they attained what? Nothing. Nothing. People who did it before them didn't get anything. But God said, this is how I'm going to do it. You will not reach out for me. I will reach down to you. This is what iniquity is. This is what sin is. That they gave you a gift, and his name is Jesus, and you rejected him. That's what the sin is now. That's all it is. That, listen, God now is not like, you did bad, I will punish you. There's punishment for bad generally. There's a law of life like that. But the real active punishment of God when he pounces on people now is that I gave you a gift and you said what? No. Go and read the parables of Jesus Christ. Come and eat, they refuse. He casts them into outer darkness. I don't know whether you hear what I said. You know, normal human reasoning is that, hey, I don't want chop nana by force. That's normal human reasoning. But with God, it's not like that. To reject his offer is iniquity. That's what it is. That God gave them his only begotten son, embodied himself in flesh and said, here I am, take. And you did what the Bible calls, you did despite. You guys know what I'm saying, if you know that English. You just rubbished his gift. It is not a joke. God, listen to me. That one is not funny. That is what leads people into total condemnation. What is Jesus? It is the gift of God. God said, listen, stop reaching out. Stop reaching up. Trying to find me. No. What I will do now is that I will come. I will come in the midst of you. All I'm saying is just receive me. And he said, he came unto his own. And his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power, the authority to become sons of God. They became children of God. They were not people who are trying to reach out to a God that is far, but God put his spirit into them so that they could come into his presence anytime and call him Abba, Father. Let's read that so I can close. Colossians chapter 1. Let's start from verse 15. Talking about Jesus, he said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. Please, I want you to follow this again. I said something about this one briefly last time. I just want to amplify it. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now notice this. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Now this is where all human beings were, verse 21. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. He said, if indeed, I like New Living Translation here. He said, now what you need to do is to ensure you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now, please, I will read the rest later, but I just want to jump to some things. Paul now said that I'm laboring, all right, that I may fully carry out, that's verse 25, the preaching of the word of God. That is, what am I preaching? The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is that mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He now said, we proclaim him. Now, notice verse 28. Admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Not just in good behavior, not just in knowledge, but complete in whom? In Christ. For this purpose I labor. That is, Paul said, this is what is driving me. Striving according to his power, which mightily works in me. Next time we read into chapters 2 and 3. But let me just speak a few things here and then pass a few comments and then I will close for today. He said in verse, if you read verse 8 of chapter 2. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, that is in Christ, all the fullness of deity or of Godhead dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Please let me stop here, all right? I will read the other things later. Many of them are just jumping out. There are a lot of them in this chapter too. Like in verse 16, he said, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to who?
Christ.
All right. Now, let me just stop here. I'll finish reading something. I'll just see the next line. So let me quickly add it. But let's just stop here because I'm watching my time closely. Now, there was something I wanted, before we read this, I said I wanted to say something. Okay, let me quickly say it. And that's the fact that, remember I said this one before, sometime, I think last year or the year before, teaching about this Christ thing. I explained the principle that in life you must choose the realm you want to operate in. And that there is a realm called Christ. Now, when we say that in him you have the fullness of wisdom and knowledge, this is what it means. Remember, by him all things were created. And without him was nothing created that was ever created. Business ideas were created by him. Amen?
Amen?
The wisdom of those business ideas are found also, therefore, in him. Now, I said something last time before I closed. I discussed that once my wife and I were speaking, and I explained to her that because of the job, a function she was taking up, coordinating a couple's fellowship, I said, tell your leader that you can't meet every time and be discussing marriage problems. The reason is because when people do that, you've been to many places like that, people often focus. Now, this is what I want to try and explain. We often focus on the wisdom, for example, how to make your wife happy, how to make your husband happy, how to raise your children. Now, we keep learning those things, and people keep on saying, and this is not totally a lie, but you see where we are walking in inferiority, that is in a place inferior to where we're supposed to be. They'll see that when Muslims practice this, they also get results. Anytime you hear that, that tells you it's not by faith, and therefore it's not in accordance with grace. You hear what I said? Once you hear it, once somebody tells you, I've heard Christian preachers say it, that Muslims have, even Muslims have learned that to prosper, you need to regularly give a part of your money to the prophet. Once you hear it, just know that that is not your gospel. Because there is no gospel that works for you that will not work through faith. And if anybody that doesn't have the faith of Christ operates it, that thing is not the gospel of Jesus. It can't be. So I told her that, look, I just told my wife simply, I said, listen, this is one thing. The better you are in the reflection of the Christ character in you, automatically you're a better husband. Automatically you're a better wife. Automatically you're a better businessman. Oh God, listen to this. Prosperity will come upon you naturally. Favor will shine on you without you struggling for it. You will not even realize you need favor. Favor will come to you. Why? Because the fullness of all these blessings are in Christ Jesus. You see, as we go on, I am not saying, therefore, go out and break up. That is, start doing bad. Are you getting my point? So that grace may abound. Nobody said that. There are things that show you that you are not a believer. You see it, if you get down to chapter 3, Paul began to explain that in that book of Colossians. He said, because, now, you must understand the angle he's coming from and where he is supposed to come from in life. Let's take this giving thing as an example again. You know, I keep on saying it because people preach the opposite so much and you hear so much of it. And I don't think it's good for Christians to operate things that are inferior to the truth of God, of Jesus Christ. Let's take this giving thing as an example. Because of the nature of Christ that is in you, you have no choice but to be generous. You hear what I said? It's not something you think about. If you are not, it is a sign you are walking away from faith. But you are not doing it because you think with that you will enter into prosperity. That is not Christianity. Christianity is simple. In Christ, I have been made complete as a prosperous man. In Christ, there is no poverty in me. The reason why people don't give is because they are afraid of tomorrow. The reason why they don't is because they don't understand that they have been blessed to be a blessing. Those are the two reasons. There's no third reason that I'm aware of. I mean, these two things, you'll be able to decode every other reason. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when somebody is a believer in Christ Jesus, you understand that, listen, I have been made complete as far as prosperity is concerned in Christ Jesus. My prosperity does not depend on the money I have today. And I understand the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, sufficient unto the day. What that means simply means is that anytime I give you money, this is enough for the problems of today. That's what he was saying. Solve all the problems of today. Don't worry. The thing will never finish. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Yes, that's what it means to be what? Complete. I am not doing anything. You see, you must understand. If you are doing something to improve your standing with God, what you are saying that you are not complete in Him. And there are things you don't do. Don't insult God. For us believers, everything we do is an expression of where we are in Christ Jesus. It's an expression of our faith. Remember, I said people were reaching to God. God said, no, it's enough. Now, let me not come down to you. And anything I hand to you, this is how you know you have collected it. Now, this, I want to end with this, all right? This is actually where I want to end, all right? Let me say something to you. Now, faith is a force in the realm of the Spirit. Now, this is how God has done it in Christ Jesus. God has done everything. God, please give me the wisdom to explain this in a few sentences that we'll develop it next time. In Christ, God has done everything for you. Let me say it like this. In Christ, he has forgiven your sins.
Amen.
He has healed your diseases.
Amen.
He has crowned you with loving kindness and compassion.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, he has solved all the problems you have not even seen.
Amen.
Are you following my point? That is, assuming you are 28 now. You are going to assume that you are just getting married. There are certain problems you are going to have in about 15 years' time. As at yesterday, 2,000 years ago, he has solved the problem. And you have not even seen the problem yet. Please follow me. That's how God does things. Before your father met your mother, all the problems that you are going to have, the solutions have been packaged and placed in Christ. God does not fashion solutions for you when you enter into trouble. I know what I'm saying there. A lot of us need to shake our heads. Say it again. This time around in English. So the one you said before, we don't know whether it was Greek or Latin. Listen to me. You hear of ancestral curses, ancestral problems, generational issues. Everything has been solved in Christ. Even for the fellow who has not been born yet. There's one man in Tibet, another one in Brazil, who will be born in about 75 years' time. All the problems of ancestral problems, you understand my point? In their lives, as of today, they have been solved. That's how God reasons. So. As far as he's concerned, he looked at Abraham. Abraham had not even had that child. He said, a father of many nations, I have made you. It's not, look, if we can arrange these things, you go see, oh, I feel doing. I can do it, oh. Just watch me. Just watch what I'm about to do. I will do something. No. He said, oh boy, a father of many nations, I have already made you. You must understand this. What Abraham saw, he did not see it physically before he died. Now, you know, let me explain something. What Abraham was walking with God for was not Isaac. What God wanted to bring from the life of Abraham was not Isaac. Isaac was the first sign of what God could do. Isaac was the reason Abraham could die in peace. You must understand, this is how God does it. When he makes a promise to people sometimes, and the promise is not for their own lifetime, but is dependent upon their faith, he gives them something while they live to sleep with. Do you understand my point?
Yeah.
Remember Simeon? Simeon was kept alive to see the salvation of God. And the boy had not saved anybody when Simeon died.
Yes.
He saw him and said, now thy servant can depart in peace, that my eyes have seen the salvation that has not yet died for anybody. The birth of that child was confirmation that everything that God said to Simeon that he was going to do, he would do. When Isaac was born, it was a confirmation to Abraham that when he said, a father of many nations, I have made you, nothing can change it. So much was Abraham sure that when God said, sacrifice Isaac, he had no compunction about sacrificing him. Because the birth of Isaac was a sign. I learned that long ago. Read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I wrote it in there. That Isaac is a sign. Isaac is not the promise. Isaac was a sign of the promise. And read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, said it. Say, all these died in faith, not having received the promise.
Yes.
Isaac was just a sign. Say, Abraham, see, that when I say something, no shaking. Abraham died knowing that the blessing of God was going to come upon this earth, whether he was there or not. Now, why am I saying all of these things? God packages or has packaged everything in Christ. And he says, you lay hold on anyone that is relevant to you by one simple mechanism. It sounds so simple, but we are back to it. It is what? Faith. Anything you do that does not accept the work of God in your life as already done is unbelief. Let me say the commonest one. Any day you take money and say, God, I want to give this offering that you might prosper me, you have insulted him. Any day you do something because you think that is what is going to get something for you from God, it's an insult. Everything you do as a believer must be because you said, I recognize. You know, the king of Sodom came to Abraham. Give me the men, you can have all the goods. So that you can go tomorrow and say, I have made Abraham rich. He said, no. Apart from what I gave to Melchizedek and what my men have taken, take everything back. Why? I am so sure of the blessedness on my head. I don't want any pollution when we are going to tell the story. He wasn't sowing a seed into the life of the king of Sodom. The man was speaking, oh God, you must understand this. When he told Lot, Lot, come, choose anywhere you want. You think he was signing up for poverty? No. He was saying that to Lot because he realized that he came here because there was a call and there's a blessing upon his head. Whatever you like, take. I'm still blessed. That is why, let me tell you, as a Christian, one thing you must never cry over is you lost something. You know what I mean, lost something? You lost money. You invested money, you lost. You give somebody money, you not pay back. Your goods is on the ship, and they sank, and there's no insurance. Are you getting my point? You know, those kind of things. Or the one I always like to add for the young boys. After all the labor, I labored on Angela. You know that, my Angela? If anybody comes here and her name is Angela, she'll say, wait, Pastor, change the name. And this one using me to preach every time, I don't tire. You know, say, with all the labor I've labored, can you imagine? People are very, very wicked. I can't believe this. How am I going to recover from this? Listen, you're already blessed.
Amen.
The Bible says you are complete in him. When Angela ran away with all your affection and all your love, it just shows that she's not the completeness in him. That's all. It's a revelation. Listen to me, every disappointment is a revelation.
Amen.
What did I say? Every disappointment is a revelation. You had confessed that job. You have done everything. You have woken up at night while men were sleeping and prophesied that I have favor with the managing director. As I appear, he will see the glory upon me and begin to appoint me, as it were, into the appropriate position. And then you confess, and you declared, Robobolo, Gobolo, you do everything upon it. When you reach there that morning, the man looks at you. Why he just call me? You didn't hear the interview in there yesterday? Sir? Yes. We wanted 6 people. But right now, I have 7. I don't know how to even remove the extra one. In your mind, Holy Ghost. You know, Christian will not say that my faith did not work. How can your faith not work? Your faith is not working, it has worked. I don't know how to explain it again. You're not trying to produce anything. Your faith has already taken you into the fullness. When you get there and they don't give you that one, you simply realize, sir, it was nice knowing you. In your mind, this was not my own. You can even feel sorry for him small. If this man knew who was before, he would have asked for living water. You forgive her. Oh, there was one thing I said, I'll develop it again next time. That's what I'm ending with. God has done everything. That here, an amen.
Amen.
Each one becomes real to you as you by faith recognize it. Everything you don't recognize is the one that seems not to work in your life. And that's why the promises of God are like that. It is always by faith. So God speaks as a matter of finality. He talks from a final, a done position. a father of many nations, I have made you. All the events of your life will begin to work to bring out the reality of that into existence. You are not allowed, let me end with that. You are not allowed to walk as if you are trying to make that thing become. You walk as knowing, not as if. You walk knowing that that already is. Do you understand my point? Yes, you walk knowing that that already what? Is. You're not trying to prosper. You have already prospered. What you are doing is that you are walking in the prosperity that God has already completed for you in Christ. Everything you are doing in life is like, let me look, a prosperous man, you know, prosperity, you know, wealth. I've discussed, defined wealth before. Wealth is not, I have money. No, wealth is I am a blessing. Wealth is that I'm bringing substance into the lives of people. That's what wealth is. Wealth is not I have cash. So when you get up in the morning, it's not like, hey, what man go do today so that man go make him. No. It's more of I am a blessing that God sends to bless somebody. So if you're in my pathway of blessing for today, show up. Let me bless you. I don't know whether you get my point. So you begin to use your gift to bless somebody. That's what it is. That is what it is. So if I'm a preacher, I pour forth preaching. Are you getting my point? That's why, listen, I have not doubted. You know I say it all the time. I can't doubt it anymore. A time will come. If I want a private jet, I won't go and buy one even if I have the money. I will call three of you. Go and buy it and bring it.
Amen.
It's not like I go and say, oh, I want to buy it. No, no. My wife will say, ah, so but we have the money. I say, why should I be buying private jet? What is Udechukwu doing that I will be buying private jet? Are you getting my point? I will just call three people, say, three of you, go and bring it. I want it. I will give you the size. You know why? Oh, the Lord is good. Zechariah succeeded by the prophesying of the prophets. It's Zerubbabel, I want you to say. Zerubbabel. I know as I'm uttering words, is bringing forth prosperity into the lives of people.
Amen.
The divine commandment is that when it has borne fruit, we must share it. It's divine commandment. It's divine commandment. You can't chop it alone. Otherwise, me too, I have to go and start business. I have to start designing and building houses like Bishop. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then when will I be preaching for you? So God said, okay, you preach. Guys, when it bears fruit, we share it. Yeah, what I'm going to say is that I know that I'm producing wealth. You know why? Because I have been blessed to be a blessing. Every day you walk with that mentality is a finished work mentality. That's why we titled our message, Christ, the Final Truth. It's not a, we're not trying to achieve something. We are saying God has achieved that thing for us in Christ Jesus. I think I've spoken enough. I've spoken enough for today. I hope you hear what I said.
Yes,
I hope you hear what I said.
Yes,
just bow your hand and say, Lord, thank you for these words. Say, Lord, thank you that I am complete in Christ. That my struggles have come to an end.